live in the present. Every day I get up, I consider it a gift. I said, well, thank you, Lord, another day that I get to be in the present, which I call like a gift, the present. Get it? It's a play on words. That's my present. Okay, the Christmas decor, doesn't it look beautiful? My goodness. I thank you guys. And I didn't have one thing to do with it this year. I thank you for stepping up, Laura Lee and her crew. And my goodness, I mean, they worked hard. The parking lot looks great. All the things got moved yesterday. And that took a lot of labor. Yeah, I know. My goodness, I'm just overwhelmed. Choir practice will be next Sunday immediately after church. And if you want to sing in the choir, and I'm going to tell you something. We can make all kinds of excuses of why we don't do it. But this is a Christmas I think we're going to remember. And I think we need to pull out all stops. So let's do a Christmas choir. We're going to practice next Sunday right after church. And we only have two practices. We're doing four Christmas carols, some that you all are familiar with, very easy. Laura Lee will be heading that up. So see her today if you're interested. And we will feed you. Yes, we will feed you. So you have no excuse. And I think it's great. It's good fellowship. Seriously, guys, it's good fellowship to get together. It's spiritual to get together and break bread together, not just in communion, but in fellowship meals. And that brings me to my next point of Jingle Mingle. I thank God Vicky's heading that up this year. And I just thank you guys for helping me. I need it. I need it right now. December the 6th at 6. December the 6th at 6. And the fellowship hall, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I want to read a quote before Pastor gives us a scripture. It's, you know, we live in serious times. I know, you know, if you know anything, what's going on in our nation. And we really need God to intervene. We do. I want to read this direct quote from Sidney Powell, who is on the defense team for President Donald Trump. I want you to listen to her heart's cry. She said, and we've got, of course, all the media interest against us, all the global interest against us, all the social media companies against us, because they're all owned and controlled by foreign money. There are trillions of dollars of wealth and corporation and corruption at issue against our little team in this effort. Every depot, every tyrant around the world who has been elected by the system, I'm sure, is putting all of his or her resources and connections and everything else against us. We've had technology issues. People are blowing up my phone all the time. Everybody out there on the wrong side of truth and justice is attacking us in one form or another. But we're going to keep going, and we are going to prove it. I'm telling you, we need to pray for protection for this defense team. And if God wants to, and I think it needs to be exposed, I don't care what party it is. I said I don't care what party it is or who it is. Amen. Or who it is. If it starts from the head down, it needs to be exposed. Judgment begins first where? House of God. Some priest robes, get my point, will be lifted up to expose their humanity, and they will be brought to shame. It starts at the house of God, and then it trickles down, and then it must go into the world. We've already seen some judgments in the house of God. But I'm telling you, we need to pray for Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and all of those that are working in this, because I'm telling you, corruption needs to come down. It really, really needs to come down. Besides that, whatever. You know what? I'm going to still be a Christian. I'm going to still stand for Jesus. And if I get thrown in jail, I get thrown in jail. It's just to that point with me now. It's been there. It's been there. When you're dead anyway, what difference does it make? Can't kill me but once. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of revolution generation we're going to have. And I want to be a part of that. Amen. But anyway, pray for this team. And now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
Okay, let's go ahead and stand together this morning. It is good to see you in God's house. We're going to read from Psalm 105, and the Bible says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, go ahead, give God thanks for all the glorious things he has done. Let's do it. Yes, Lord. Go ahead and worship him. Tell everyone about his wonders. Let's sing his praises. Sing and put all of his miracles to music. Praise God. Amen. Shine, shine, and make your joyful boast in him, you lovers of God. Let's be happy and keep rejoicing no matter what. Seek more of his strength. Seek more of him. Let's always be seeking the light of his face. Glory to God. Let's give him some praise this morning. Always, always. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the presence and the power of God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to breathe into this house, God, upon every single person. Lord, breathe upon this praise team today. Let your glory fill the house. You're here. You're here. You were here this morning when we came. Lord, and I know right now, God, as we've gathered together in your name, it has intensified. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for what you're moving. And thank you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the truth of your word. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus today that you rise up, Lord. Let all of your enemies be scattered. Let your name be exalted in all the earth. Lord, for we're here today to put your praise to music. Oh, Lord, to sing unto you and glorify your name. So we honor you today and say thank you for your blessings and your goodness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody gave a shout to God. Amen. Let's worship him. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Bring his glory high this morning, all right?
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When you're satisfied and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. All who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their soul. matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, and rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, as you come to the way.
Situation you are in today, he is able and willing. Amen. He said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. All you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lead me to the to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Yeah. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, and lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. Lead me to your cross. Before you, O Lord, where we would let go of everything that would hold us and we run to you. Amen. Lead me to your cross, to your cross, O Lord, the glorious cross, where you paid everything for us, O God. We bless your name. You made a way where there was no way. You came to our rescue. And we bless you and thank you for that. Amen. 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 We're going to run to you this morning, Lord. Run to the Father. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Amen, Lord. Thank you.
I run to the Father, fall into grace.
run to the Father this morning. Let him embrace you right where you're at. You know, we come here to meet with him, but he's come here to meet with us today. He's got something special for you today. If you just open your heart. Just open your heart.
What that is. Oh, you're good. What? A cheerful giver. Cheerful. Can we just laugh a minute? Just make it laugh. Oh, you can do better than that. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. You know, and when I give, I am cheerful. It does make me happy.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to see you in God's house this morning. Let's stand together. Let's give him a thanksgiving praise today. Can we do that? Amen. Say, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of the praise. Praise God. You know, I was just thinking, keep standing up, but I was just thinking about, you know, that psalm that we read out of Psalm 105.
You know, when it says give thanks to the Lord, you know, that word is yod. It means to extend the hands. Extend the hand and revere and worship. And I was thinking about how that, you know, so oftentimes we overlook the fact that when we come into God's presence, you know, when we extend that hand to Him and we're bowing our head and when we're coming into His presence like that and in reverence and awe, we want that response of Him to reach out and touch us. Amen. To know that we're accepted in Him. And we are through Jesus Christ. Somebody say, yes, we are. Amen. And when He tells us to call, and I jotted this stuff down just reading that, to call out to Him, it means to accost a person, to address them by name. And so, when you know, when you're worshiping God, you know, it's like we were this morning, and you're lifting Him up and magnifying Him. You are seeking His face, but, you know, what is He to you? You know, I hope He's more than, you know, just Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I hope he is Lord. Amen. I hope He is God Almighty, so that when you come to Him, no matter what covenant name that you know God by, but it's good sometimes when you're just praising Him, just to acknowledge Yeshua HaMashiach, just to exalt His name, amen, acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then it talked about, you know, making known His deeds. It is in the sense of effecting an exploit, because we know God by His exploits. Somebody say, yes, we do. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage, and He brought them through the Red Sea, and He worked all those mighty miracles throughout the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant as well, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are seeking Him, but we are accosting Him, and we are praising Him for the things that He has done. Because when I look back through history and I see the things that God has done, I say, if He did it for them, He'll do it for me. Because He is not a respecter of persons this morning. And maybe you came in here today and maybe you think you're up against an impossibility. Well, I know the God who does the impossible. I know He's more than enough for what you need in life today. All He has to do is speak the word. And believe me, there's a lot of spoken ones already here that you can claim the promise of today. So when we praise Him, we can cause the miracles of God to be released. That's what He's telling us. Let's expect exploits in His name. Amen. I want to see the effects of what happens when we really begin to praise Him and magnify His name together. Can you imagine that it's just like if we could really just get in one mind and one accord instead of thinking on all the different things that we have on our minds when we come into a service and just really see Him and focus upon Him. Can you imagine the power that would be released and the miracles that would happen from heaven? I mean, you couldn't stop them. It's like the scripture said, the blessing of the Lord chases you down and overtakes you. And then I like that He said, sing unto the Lord. Sing. But it's not just singing a song. He said, man, pick up some kind of instrument and just begin to pluck on it and begin to sing. Amen. So that's what we were doing this morning. We had some people here plucking on strings and playing on strings and beating on drums and so forth, you know, to sing and give melody and praise the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Now, you know something this morning? What's awesome about that is that's taking place all over America right now. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people have gathered together to give thanks and to give praise to the Lord. Amen. So I want to give you another opportunity right now. I want you to think about something God has accomplished in your life this year. And in the face of the next thing that you're facing, I want you to thank Him like it's already done. Amen. Let's just take a few minutes to do that. Father, we thank You right now. We thank You, Lord, that sickness and disease, Father God, die in Your presence. We thank You, Lord, that cancer is no bigger than a cold in Your presence and by Your authority. Lord, we just thank You today that Jesus, it is by Your stripes that we are healed. We thank You today, Father God, that Lord, that You're here to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the bruised, to recover the sight of the blind, to open the prison of them that are bound. We thank You today, Jesus, that You're present right now. And thank You for all all that you have done and all that you have accomplished for us, Lord, through the cross, through your resurrection from the dead. We thank you today, most of all, for life and life more abundantly, Father God. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor and the power in Jesus' name today, Father. We worship you. We worship you, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout it out and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. That one universal thing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath give praise to the Lord. Woo. Amen. Look at somebody say, he's better than you acting like. Oh, yeah. He's better than you're letting on. He is good. Uh-huh. Say he's good, Daryl. Let me hear you. Oh, is that? Oh, you got to do better. He's good. He's good. He's good. He say it, Sean. Say he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Say it, Mike. Say he's good. He's good. He's good. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Say, thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. It's like the man said, praise God 10,000 times. 10,000 times. Praise God, praise God. Now you feel better already, see? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you feeling better now? Didn't even have to go to the doctor to get that. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 1 this morning. We're going to read one short verse and we're going to get into this. I felt stirred in my spirit last week and the Lord wouldn't release me to do it. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, did two little services on this, but I really feel drawn by the Spirit of God today. And, you know, I'm thankful for all that God does. And I hope that you get together with your family this week. And that you hug each other tight, praise God. And that you get as many squeezed up in your house as you possibly can. And you celebrate Thanksgiving. Praise God. And thank him that you're healed by his stripes. Glory to God. And that no evil shall come nigh thee. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Somebody say amen. 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 It's time to draw near to the Lord, not social distance from him too. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I encourage you to do that. Praise God. You need one another and you need fellowship and you need the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 1. I ask ye the Lord rain in the time of rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone. Everybody say to everyone. To everyone grass in his field. Amen. Let's read that again. Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in his field. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to come and touch hearts. Holy Spirit, we say rain in hearts today. Prepare hearts today for what you have. Whether it's a healing, a miracle, a breakthrough, Lord, or a fresh baptism of the fire of God. Lord, courage, health, whatever that it might be. We pray right now, Father God, let hearts be prepared for the receiving of all that you have, for the receiving of Christ, for the receiving of the Holy Ghost, for the receiving, oh God in heaven, of your goodness and your blessing. We thank you for the anointing today. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, be exalted in this place. Be exalted in lives. Grant us revelation, knowledge, and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We had talked about the rain a few weeks back. And as we focus on the rain again this morning, rain serves as a great purpose in the scripture, in the natural and in the spiritual. It speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. That's why we need rain, especially in our nation. It speaks of preparing for the harvest. Everybody say that. Say preparing the harvest and reaping the harvest. And so my prayer today and my focus is that God would prepare the hearts of men and the very atmosphere in our nation for the reaping of the harvest. Now, man, I think today, man, you're going to get stirred before I get done. Matter of fact, I know you are. For the harvest. Everybody say for the harvest. For the harvest. We describe that rain is that moisture that is condensed from the atmosphere that falls visibly. And that also that it can come in an overwhelming quantity. And in the vision that the Lord gave me in 1986, one of the things that was predominant in that was the more the people prayed, the more the rain fell. The more the people prayed, the more the rain fell. Because I believe, and I want you to understand this and get this morning, is that the atmosphere that is in America right now, you know, if you know anything at all, that it is tense. There's darkness, there's gross darkness upon the minds of men and women everywhere. There is a lot of fear that exists in people. And we could name numerous things, and we probably will name some of those this morning, but the atmosphere, on the other hand, clouds are beginning to gather. And I want you to get this because on one hand, we see the clouds of the enemy gathering and we see the darkness that is there and the gross darkness upon the people. But I also understand that the dark, thick clouds are under the feet of my God. And that those clouds contain His glory. And that as people become hungry in the body of Christ and they come into that place where they understand the urgency of the hour and the need to pray or even learn to pray like they have never prayed before, to take their places as intercessors. Always remember this, that Jesus in the Bible got very angry when He went into the house of God and saw the money changers. Matter of fact, He went out, He came back in. The scripture tells us and takes us directly into that story, and He sees them making money at tables. And anger rises up in Him because He knows the pervading atmosphere of Rome. He knows the pervading atmosphere of the evil that is building and taking place. He knows that His crucifixion is growing more near every single day, and He understands the tenor of the times and the condition of people's hearts. And when He comes into the very place that is called the house of God, He looks at them and He understands, this is not what my Father wants. I mean, He didn't get up and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for my Father has anointed me to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the bruised, to recover the... He didn't say anything like that. He told them as He went in a rage in the Spirit, and I want you to get this because much of what we see in America right now, I'm speaking prophetically to you today, as we have seen a lot of money changing, but we see no power. We hear a lot of saber rattling, but we see no real true warfare that cuts the enemy down. We hear about a lot about, you know, people singing and lifting up the name of Jesus, but we really see no powerful effect of demonic powers and strongholds that come down like David did when he played on his harp. Or when the minstrel came into the presence of Elisha and prayed and the Spirit of God came upon him. See, God is the God of effect. What I'm telling you is that when we do that is connected to the Spirit of God, it produces life, and in turn power is released through that, and something takes place. The captive can be set free, a nation can be changed, a nation can be born, revival can be breakout, awakening can come. We have seen today people that we thought that we could trust. I guess they'll censor this one. People that we thought that we could trust, that now we found out that we cannot trust. News agencies that we thought that we could trust, that we cannot trust. Come on, somebody. You hear one thing here and one thing over there, but I want you to understand today, child of God, it's important not to be part of the crowd that's in the midst of the money changers that never reads this or ever takes the time to find out the mind of God. But understand right now, what can I discern that's getting ready to take place? Jesus, in that moment of time, overthrew the money changers' tables. And what did he say? My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. He said, you've robbed the blind from seeing and the deaf from hearing and the dead being raised. You've robbed the very people that need salvation and to know their God from the very thing that God in heaven gave them. You've laid upon them laws and doctrines that have nothing to do with their heavenly Father. You put weights upon their lives and you've clothed them with simply mere religion that changes nothing. And I'm here to bring this indictment against you from the prophet of old. You have taken what my God meant for a mighty deliverance, center of power and authority, and you have turned it into a den of thieves. Sure is quiet. Now listen. You see the prophet of God. He's walking the dusty roads because he has prophesied that there's not going to be any rain. By the way, the title of this is Rainmakers. And he's walking through the dust and he sees bones everywhere and carcasses of animals that have died because of food. He sees people that have even died because they don't have any, they have no water, and there's famine in the land because he's prophesied and several years have gone by. And how many know this morning that when there's no rain, the rivers stop flowing and the streams dry up? Come on, somebody. You can't even find a branch or a water hole, and it can become really tough. But we liken that unto the things of the Spirit or unto the house of God. And I want you to hear me this morning now, because we are the ones that control the atmosphere of what God can or cannot do for us. Because I like what Dad Hagin used to say many years ago. He said, God's done everything he's going to do. It's up to us to take the word and do what he said to do with it. So we control this atmosphere and the atmosphere that pervades in America. And I know we don't like to hear this, but by and large, the condition of our world is laid in the lap of the church today, who has not taken the privilege of prayer, not taken the privilege of fasting, not taken the privilege of teaching the word, but we've all wanted entertainment. Do something to make me feel good. I want you to massage me in my religion, in my unbelief, and tell me that everything is all right. But there are very few prophets who can move the people anymore, who can move the godly and stir them enough to become the body that Jesus intends for us to be. Now think for a minute. Jesus, before he is crucified, is found upbraiding his disciples for unbelief. Somebody said he's fussing at them. He's wanting them to grasp the fact that, look, in a few hours, I'm out of here. The Holy Spirit's coming. It's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, he cannot come. The prophet Elijah is walking down the dusty road, and he has prophesied and created an atmosphere where there is no rain. We live in a time and a day right now where there's not much rain falling in America. Come on, somebody. And we're crying out more and more every day, especially during the last 6 to 8 months. People have called on God more than they've called on Him in the past 25 years. You have people praying and crying out to God that have never prayed and cried out before. You have people that have left denominations and said, I've got to find something that measures up with this and join it and get a hold of it, and because I know that things have got to change. We have to have God, because the atmosphere has been created in our nation that it's dry and it's arid and the ground is parched and it's cracked, and there's very few people that have a handle on the fact of what really God expects out of the church and what He needs for us to do right now. And so Elijah's walking the road. He created this thing. Why did he do it? Because God spoke to him and said, prophesy. Prophesy, thus saith the Lord, Ahab, there will be no rain but according to my word. Well, what God had on his mind was not just mere rain, but a deluge that would turn a nation back to him. Expose Baal worship within the nation. Show it for what it was. Expose Ahab and Jezebel for what they were. Pull down those strongholds and set Israel free from a devil of idolatry. Who did that? That was good. Now listen. America right now is kind of in the same place. Our nation was born in fire, born in travail. We have a living, breathing document that's called the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights that was given to us. We have founding fathers that prayed over our nation, cut covenant with the living God. But we see right now in our nation that there's a lot of Baal worship, that there's a lot of idolatry. And so prophets have gotten up and they've been prophesying now for years that the rain is going to cease and the rain is going to stop. One of the things that's picked up in America is the seeker-friendly church, that if you come here, we're going to make sure that you get a lollipop and make sure that you feel good before you leave the house. We're going to give you a present and pat you on the back and tell you that you can live in your sin and everything's going to be all right. I'm here today to tell you, no. It is not. We are in the mess that we are in because of our sin. As they say, it's not a matter of skin. It's a matter of sin. The devil's taken opportunity of our weakness and our stupidity, excuse me, and taken advantage of where we are spiritually. And he has caused visceral hatredness and division and blindness in the body of Christ to cause people to get more caught up on their pet peeves than what the Word of God says. I've got to discern the times. I've got to be spiritually discerning. Elijah had discernment. He had a heart for God. The Bible tells us that he was jealous for the Lord God. How many are jealous for him today? How many are jealous? How many are saying, I've had enough of what I see right now. I'm tired of being a backseat Christian. I'm tired of just riding on the bus headed to nowhere. It's ready for me to get myself stirred up and get full of the fire of God again and have a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire in my life so that I can speak the oracles of God in a plain and clear way and that I can live my life in an effective way so that it will affect everything around me. Come on. The prophet appeared to Ahab. He says, time to meet me on the mountaintop. You bring your prophets. We know the story. That when he got up there and prayed, the fire of God fell. We missed the part. He prayed again. He went and he took the position after those prophets of Baal were slain and cut down. He took the position of a Hebrew woman giving birth. He said, the atmosphere's got to change. Hasn't rained for 3.5 years. And listen, if it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, I don't care if you had Jolly Roger out there somewhere telling you that he's got his rain-making truck and he's going to salt the atmosphere and he has his cymbals and band playing, trying to entreat the gods in the sky. There's nothing going to happen. Come on, somebody. I would dare say this morning, listen to what I'm telling you. 3.5 years of no rain causes a person to think there's never going to be any rain. Well, one of the things it does for people is it causes them to begin to dig around a little bit. There were two rains that fell in Israel. One was called the early rain. It was given at the time of the sowing of the seed, and it was meant to prepare the ground. And then there was the latter rain that was given to them. And it was given, most of the time it would come at night because they would have to reap the fields on dry land. Somebody say amen. But it was meant to cause that kernel of corn that was sown into the ground to become a full ear. Oh man, y'all better get ready. I'm going somewhere this morning. And so they were dependent on the right rain coming down in its season so that the works of their hands could be blessed and that it would not be aborted. And so Elijah is on the mountaintop, and he's a rainmaker, and he's there. He's saying, now it's got to rain again. And somebody say, what did he pray in that prayer beside that 53-word prayer when the fire fell? Because it took 7 times for him to pray. Didn't say how long. It could have been 7 hours. It could have been a while for him up on that mountaintop as he was pressing into the presence of God, because he sent his servant. He said, go yet again, go yet again, go yet again. But I want you to understand something. Is that as James said in chapter 5 of James, the husbandman of the earth hath long patience, for he has patience for the earth, the precious fruit of the earth, that he may receive the early and the latter rain. I want you to understand today, America's not going to hell. God's not written her off. He's not going to cast her away. God is getting ready to receive the early and the latter rain. What do you mean? I'm telling you that right now, he has sent rain down through the years since the day of Pentecost, and seeds have been planted. Does anybody hear me this morning? But I want you to understand there's getting ready to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because when Peter says, especially if you read it from the Amplified, this is the beginning of that spoken by the prophet Joel. But I'm telling you, there is a specific time that God is telling us, you can ask me rain in the time of rain, in the time of the latter rain, that he's going to open up the heavens and pour out his spirit again to reap the latter harvest. I was reading a statistic the other day, and this is the green crowd for you that's in America right now and in the world. They said, we do not believe that the world can sustain 11 billion people. So we need to reduce the population down to around 9 billion. And so they talked about the different ways to do that. Sterilization. Abortion. That's why they're so hot and heavy on it. Viruses. And they went through a whole litany of things, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this stuff, and I'm not a conspiracist by any means, but I'm not stupid either. I'm sitting there and I'm reading this and I'm saying, you foul devil. You've slain apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers through abortion. There's 60 plus million of babies that have been aborted. Listen, the devil loves to drink that blood. He loves to eat that kind of flesh. It's time that the body of Christ got a divine wake up and came to the table of the Lord and ate his flesh and drank his blood and became one with Jesus in one mind and one accord and got stirred up by the power of God. Come on now. Elijah went up and he prayed 7 times. Somebody say 7 times. And when it hasn't rained and you've seen what he has seen, I'm going to tell you, it still takes faith no matter who you are to pray a prayer and for rain to come. He's sitting there thinking, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you charged my spirit, that when I prayed 53 words, a fire fell on this mountaintop and lapped up, you know, the sacrifice and lapped up the water and lapped up the dust and everything else that had to do with it. I'm telling you this morning, God has given you a picture of something. He can burn wet kindling wood. He can lap up barrels of water that the devil tries to pour on it to destroy it. Come on, somebody. And it doesn't matter if there's 800 devils standing in the presence of one man. All God is looking for is just one person that will get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and believe that God would do what he said that he would do. And he's praying 7 times. And I love this, because when the man comes back, he said, "I see a cloud about the size of a man's head." To me, that wouldn't be nothing to get excited about much. I mean, I'm like, that big? I mean, really? One puff in the sky? One little cloud? One little cloud? How much, you know, they say clouds weigh in the tons. If you fly through them, you know, you can feel that that condensation, that water at times. The weight. How much could one cloud produce? But I love this. What did Elijah do? "Man, you're going to have to keep going back. That's not big enough." What did he say? "Gird up your loins and get out of here. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Now listen to me. One of the things that the husbandman has great patience for, that means he's standing, he's waiting. He's willing to not give in. We have to be the same way today. Listen to me. Listen. It's because he sees humanity. The people that work 50 and 60 hours a week, they have a family to raise. They're probably in poverty. They have a car that they have to get fixed about every other week. Come on. Their roof has got holes in it. They're the working class of America. Somebody say, "I hear you, Pastor. I hear you, Pastor." But yet they pay their bills. And when it comes to a Friday and they get that paycheck, they go to the grocery store and spend a majority of it on the food that they're going to feed their children with. They're trying to get ready for the school year and make sure they have something for Christmas time and make sure that when the birthday rolls around that they have something to give them. And so they're there in that struggle of life. Listen, they don't have time to figure out what's going on in politics or what's happening in the world in which we live. They have entrusted somebody that they voted for to take care of it, and they thought that they would be honest people that had a heart for them. Now I'm about to get loosed. And so this demonic power comes along and it says, you know, "Smoke this. It'll take your mind off of it. Shoot a little bit of this in your veins. It'll help you just lose any thought of it whatsoever and take you away to a place that'll make you feel so good. Or get involved in this relationship, man. I mean, you deserve it. You're a working class individual, and you deserve this anyway. You deserve when Friday comes to go get yourself a keg of beer or go get yourself a case of beer and hang out with a few friends around the fire pit, roast a few marshmallows, eat some peanuts, and drink a few beer. What is wrong with that? I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly, and that is not life. That is an entrapment of the powers of hell to keep people ignorant and wallowing in defeatism. And when they see up on the television and hear from the news reporters the things that they hear today about this election and about all that's going on in the world, honey, it just didn't happen with Donald Trump. It didn't happen with Barack Obama. It did not happen with George Bush. It didn't happen with his daddy Bush. Matter of fact, you could go back thousands of years and find these movements of Skull and Bones and the Illuminati and the One World Order and everything else that's been pushing for the Antichrist to come. Never before in history, it's unprecedented, do we see such a movement right now to overthrow our society and our world. Because you believe it, when the Antichrist finally does take his throne, or his place, you know how he gets it? He has the answer. Church, we've got the answer. Amen. We need to get off our duff and start shouting it from the housetop. we have the answer. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so right now you see this struggle going on. I'm getting ready to pull it together. There hasn't been any rain in America. We've had a bunch of fluff. We've come to church, been made to feel good, but we haven't been out in the harvest. Our numbers could be increased, multiplied, tripled if we'd been in the harvest. And what does Jesus say in the book of Luke? He tells us it's on the side of the building out here. He said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. If you got this attitude, you already asleep, honey. You're in the devil's rocking chair. If you've got an attitude like that, you're already caught up in something. You have no idea what you're caught up into. Now think just for a few minutes. Jesus said, don't say that they're 4 months and then comes the harvest. For I say to you, lift up your eyes, for the fields are already white unto harvest. He was literally saying to us, they are almost spoiled. They're rotting. Read the book of Joel. They're lying under the clods of dirt. Why? Because of the lack of rain to soften the ground, to cause those pellets and those clods of dirt to dissolve, and for the nutrients to come down into the soil so that that seed can turn into a full ear, so that the harvester will say, it's time to reap the harvest. Let's get it now. See, I believe the devil has overplayed his hand. What do you mean? Glad you ask. Is that because of this arid situation and because of the COVID-19 and because everybody's wearing a mask and because everywhere that you go, it's like everybody's doing exactly what Uncle Sammy's telling them to do, but I don't even know whether Uncle Sam would tell lies like that. His ancestors may. Now listen. And so the church has helped create the atmosphere. Now the church is in the atmosphere. And now the church is awakening. Because the church has learned, and it's not the Pentecostal, and it's not the Baptist, and it's not the Methodist, and it's not the Catholics. It's every born-again believer is beginning to be awakened now. And they're beginning to say to themselves, this has got to stop. This has got to go. So there's been fastings and there's been prayers. And last week there was the Esther's fast of 3 days. And then everybody's saying, this has got to change. This has got to change. The Lord gave me that prophetic word. Haman is about to hang himself. And so here, I believe the devil's overplayed his hand because the earth is hard. It is cracked. And there's not a lot of spiritual revival in the people. There's not an awokenness. There's not that wokeness in people like it should be. I can tell you, I know as a pastor, been doing this for a long, long time right now. When the church gets wakened, you are going to tell basically almost everybody that you meet, you're going to talk to them about Jesus. Uh-huh. You really will. Don't come and tell me you're a God-called evangelist and you don't witness. I'm like, you're a liar. You're a false whatever it is. You're not. Amen. But it's important for the body of Christ to understand there is enough muscle in the body of Christ and enough power in the body of Christ. Listen, and enough people in the body of Christ that if every Christian had went to the voting booth and voted according to the word of God, which stands against immorality and the murder of children, we would not have the problem right now with this election that we have. But millions of us decided we didn't want to cast a vote. And so God in heaven looks down at that crowd of the working class and it breaks his heart because he said, my creation was made to be the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. My creation was made to have the works of their hands blessed. My creation was made to have dominion in the earth. And somebody said, that's dominion theology. No, it's kingdom mindset. It's kingdom mindset. It's one thing to have dominion. It's another thing to have a kingdom mindset. And you understand that I'm salt. I'm light. My job is to be salt and light. That's what Jesus told the church. And if the church had been practicing what he said for 2,000 years, we wouldn't have the gross darkness that we have right now. Listen, the first thing that needs to happen in America is when this election finally comes to an end and a righteous person gets in leadership is that the educational system is going to have to be completely overhauled to teach what your gender is. That's sad. To teach that immorality is wrong. Let's stop the abortion of babies. I mean, there's a lot of things here that we can talk about. I mean, you know, but we don't have the time for this because I got 15 minutes and that's a miracle to me. I said, my God, how did I get that much time on the clock? But listen now. God looks down at that working class and his heart breaks. I don't know about you, my friend, but when I think about people laboring in a factory, laboring as a welder or laboring somewhere 50, 60, 70 hours a week. They don't get to see their wife. They don't get to see their children. And you wonder why there's divorce and why people get angry at each other. The family's not together. You got the kids out here doing God knows what and everything else. Because I got to work. I got to work. I got to work. No, you need God. You need to take the time to sit in God's presence and let it rain upon your life. Now listen, God breaks. He says, I have a lot of patience because I'm going to receive the early and the latter rain. He said, I sent the rain at the beginning for the seeds to be sown. That means preparing people's lives. And we know multitudes. We could name great men and women of God that came out of that rain. But right now, God says, ask me rain in the time of the latter rain. And the latter rain is falling. What does that mean? That God says, I'm giving the extended outpouring of my Holy Spirit because this is the first outpouring at Pentecost. This was the first when he came on that day. But God says, in the final harvest, it's going to rain. And that rain, as we said, sometimes is violent when it comes down. But I like this because it says that lots of times it rained at night. Oh, does anybody get that? Yeah. It rained in the dark. So I'm like, it's raining in the darkness. Man, that lined up with my vision in 1986 because in the vision, I said it was dark and it was cloudy and the rain was coming down so hard and the drops were so big that each drop looked like a weapon that was being released against the wall that hell had built up. And with fury, those drops were hitting against that and just tearing it up. And the more the people prayed, the more the rain fell. Are you getting a picture of this? Elijah's on the mountaintop. He's prayed now, and the rain is coming. He didn't see it. He saw a cloud. I can tell you Pastor Coleman sees a cloud. I said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. What do you mean? False apostles are getting ready to fall off the scene. False prophets are getting ready to be dropped off the scene. Come on, somebody. False pastors are going to be removed. Evangelists are going to be taken out. False teachers are going to be removed. There's going to be a returning of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about true prophets that have a heart for God, true apostles, true evangelists, true pastors, true teachers. That have an understanding like the sons of Issachar that say, my God, it's harvest time. My God wants souls born again. Listen, it's time that we got a heart for the lost that are going to hell like Jesus did. Jesus had such a heart for the lost, he was willing to die on a cross. And understand what I'm about to say. I'll drop a bombshell and probably get hated for it. Don't post a meme if you don't mean it. Jesus did, and you won't witness to a person. You won't take the time to put the gunpowder in the bullet, put it in the chamber, and fire it. You're going to tell me Jesus went to the cross. Jesus suffered this. Jesus did. Hey, I'm the choir baby. Most people on Facebook are Christians. God's saying, get off the TV, get in the street. Come on, somebody. It's true. It's time we hit the streets. So God is looking for rainmakers. What's a rainmaker? A rainmaker is the person that draws a circle on the ground, gets in and says, I'm not moving till rain. I'm not disappearing till rain. When I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, then I'll move. I'm not going anywhere until, oh my God, that I hear the rain falling in the darkness. The rain is falling in the darkness. The rain is falling in the darkness. The rain is falling in the darkness. And I'm thinking to myself, and the Lord is showing me this stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, as the rain is falling in the darkness, ask the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. He didn't say in the time of early rain. Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. So that he will make bright clouds. Oh my goodness. You know what makes a bright cloud? It's when it's so black that the sun behind it is piercing out on every side. Listen. And so here, we understand and we discern. The devil has overplayed his hand. There's so much corruption and so much evil and so much delusion and so much deception, and there's so much of everything that's going on right now because the devil wants to get everybody's attention. And lo and behold, what happened again? A COVID jumped back out from behind the fence. We're back. I'm back. I'm big bad COVID. I'm here. And that's not to diminish the fact that, yes, COVID is real. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is too. Healing is too. Miracles are too. Signs and wonders are too. The Holy Spirit is too. Come on. The church that's in that book is real. And so right now, you know, with everything being shrouded in Baal worship, you know what Baal worship is, and Asherah worship. The god of Molech, where they threw the babies into the fire and the babies would scream. The god of Baal who controlled the weather. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. Asherah, who you could just frequently visit her, you know, prostituting spirit. Land filled with it. And you're sitting there thinking to myself, I'll tell you one thing, my kids will never watch it. My kids will never see it. You can't stop it. I don't care if you take your TV out, shoot it with a 12-gauge shotgun, take an AR-15 and blow it all to pieces and stomp it in the ground. You cannot stop your kid from being affected by it. You better listen to what this man of God says. Because somewhere, your child will get introduced to it. Some pervert. I know, you shouldn't say that. The problem is now, nobody wants to say nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, you looking at a man who's not going to shut up. Jesus would have said it. Paul would have said it. And I didn't come to make friends with you. I come to tell you the truth. Because that rain is made so that when it falls on your heart, that it softens it so that you can receive the message and grasp it and understand it. That's why that harvest rain is so important. Listen, so right now, it's raining. It's raining. There's darkness that's covered the earth. Gross darkness is upon the people. And so with this election, see, that's why it seems like a majority of people have given up. I mean, yeah. I mean, to hear the news media, that's what you think. No, the remnant's not. I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump will be elected. I know some of you that's hard to swallow, and you may not like it, but you just watch and see. Because you're sitting there going, well, I'm going to smile at him and tell him I'm in agreement, but I just don't see how that's going to happen. I'll tell you. I don't know how he parted the Red Sea. I'll be the first one to admit, I don't know how in the world he rained manna down from heaven and how he got those quail out in the desert that was knee deep and waist deep. I have no idea. How he anointed a man to take an animal skin, you know, and smite a river and part it and it back up 5 to 15 miles. I don't understand that. I don't even know how he fed multitudes. All I know is he did it. He's still God. He hasn't changed. He does the impossible. He's just sitting up there waiting. I'm waiting until everybody says it can't be done. Then he steps up and says, do it. Do it. Dustin, you come on up here and get ready, buddy. Okay. Well, all right. I'm getting this. I'm not. I got just a few.
Just as good.
Okay. Now listen. This is important. See, what you've got to see is that the same parallel is going on right here as it was then. It's the same. The devil didn't have a new plan. He just tries to put new people in it. Do you understand? And so what he is doing is wanting to capture the minds of people and to keep them in the quagmire that exists. But I can tell you right now, I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And so what is getting ready to happen right now, now listen to what I'm getting ready to say, right now, is that the church is on the mountaintop. We have identified Baal. I'm talking about the remnant. I'm not talking about the majority of people that say, I'm a Christian. No, I'm talking about the real ones, the real deal. That cast out devils, that speak with new tongues, that lay hands on sick people and they recover. The ones that shake the earth. Amen. They're up there on Mount Carmel and this is what they're doing. They're taking, we have taken the plate stance of a Hebrew woman giving birth. We do it Tuesday nights. We do it Thursday nights. We pray at home and we're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for having mercy upon our nation and for giving America of her sin. Father, not giving her into the hand of the devil. Father God, we know we deserve judgment and justice, but God, you're the farmer, the husbandman of the earth, and you have great patience that you can receive the early and the latter rain. We are asking for Holy Ghost rain to fall, Father God, that will explode across the earth, blast away the darkness, the deception, the delusion, bring about your kingdom, Lord God, in this earth so that a harvest of souls can be reaped in the name of Jesus, because God's heart is for the harvest. He wants not only me to be saved, but that person I meet in Walmart. That person that I met in Mount Airy the other day, standing on the sidewalk, me and Bill, and he walked up. He was an ex-military guy. He said, I'm homeless. He said, but I'm not lazy. He said, I'll work. I'll do anything you want me to do. He said, but I am hungry. I'm starving. And so I had about 26 5-gallon buckets. I said, will you help us load this? And so, man, he crawled up in that thing, and he loaded that truck. And I handed him some money in his hand. I didn't give him a dollar. I didn't give him $5. I gave him some money. He said, thank you. I said, now can we pray together? He said, yes, sir. Everything was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. Prayed over this young man. He says, where's your church at? I told him where our church was. And I said, well, Dustin, that was his name. I'm going to be praying for you. So me and Bob prayed for him. That's the harvest. Let's watch this video. Watch it closely.
Remember this. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right, and they know what is right, but they don't have the courage or the guts or the stamina to take it and to do it. It's called the road less traveled. The sands of history. What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth?
Believe it.
slavery here in the United States and all around the world. We are dismantling the criminal organizations that make large-scale human trafficking possible. We will not rest until we've stopped every last human trafficker and liberated every last survivor. You that.
Amen. Let's stand again together this morning. So we're at a crossroads. Very distinctly, over the past year especially, you can see the divide between the true and the false. Christians as well. Because Christianity is not just a name, it's a lifestyle. If you have Christ, your heart's changed. I mean, you are changed. It's not a game. One day you'll stand before the Creator, you'll answer for everything about your life that there is. But I could not stress to you enough this morning, and I want you to hear me. I know you hear me say this a lot. You that have babies, small children, if you're thinking about having a family, the mantle of prayer has got to get on you. You've got to get passionate. Jesus has got to become number one. Number one. I mean, before everything else, he has to be at the very forefront of what we believe, of who we are and our families. Because if we don't, and if you don't, you won't have a future. Your kids won't have a future. And then when you're old, and then when they are about your age, you're going to say, I wished I'd done this and wished I'd done that. Now's the time to do it. This is the hour to do it. Because our kids can have a hope in the future. That's God's plan, Jeremiah 29 and 11, to give us a hope in the future. That is his desire. The husbandman of the earth has long patience that he can receive the early and the latter rain. He wants the harvest of the last days. Somebody said, how much time do we have left on this earth? I have no idea. 50 years? Somebody said, I don't believe it. 100 years? That's going to be determined by what happens right here. Ground zero right now with this election will determine how fast things will escalate and move forward. But listen, if righteousness does not win this time, hell, it will be hell to pay. And I'm really serious about when I say that, is because we do not realize, and I tell you guys this all the time, we do not realize who we are, how much authority that we actually have, how much power that we possess, the lifestyle that we live, because we're the ones that make the difference for the future generations. Somebody said, well, I thought God did all that. Jesus is in heaven. His body is on earth. He told us to pray. He can't come back and do it. He's not going to come back and do it for us. Read the scripture. Israel, same plan. First church that existed without grace like we have. But Israel made a difference when she was right with her God. Think about, here we are with grace, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. If you can have, I mean, church. Man, we ought to be a powerhouse. The world should be coming and asking us, how do we do this? How do we do that? What should we do? Seriously. So today, we're going to pray in just a few moments, but I want you to bow your head this morning with me. If you are here today and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. See, it's not about you. Well, I got to take care of a few things. I've got to get this straight before I come to Jesus. Look, you'll never do it. If it was in your power to become righteous, you wouldn't need a Savior. Jesus came to save you, to deliver you. He's the only one who can. And if you need salvation today, I want to give you an invitation to come to Christ, to turn it over to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I receive you as my Savior. I believe that you're Lord. If you want to receive Christ today, I want you to step back from where you're at. Meet me at this altar today. I want to pray. I want to pray with you. Secondly, as a body of believers, I want us to commit ourselves to prayer, to commit ourselves to his righteousness, not ours, his. To commit ourselves to be vocal, verbal about what we know in Christ Jesus and about how he is the one that can change the world. want to say, Lord, just take me and use me for your glory. God, set me on fire like I've never been. Lord, I know within myself I don't have what I need, but I'm asking you to impart it today. Lord, I receive all that you have for me. I receive Holy Spirit. I receive your power. I receive all that you have right now that I might be a rainmaker and make a difference in this earth. So right now, I want us to all, let's just come to this altar today in Jesus' name. Right now, just come and say, Father, I've got to have your touch. I need that today, Lord. I want to be a rainmaker. I want the fire of God. I want to be bold. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me today. Cleanse me today. Set me on fire, Lord. Set me on fire. Transform my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Transform me, Jesus. Oh God, we cry out to you today, Lord. We need your fire. We need your presence, Lord. We ask you for the rain in the time of rain today. We need heaven's rain. We need the rain, the deluge of your Spirit that blasts away the debris of sin and darkness, delusion, deception, and the powers of darkness. Jesus, we call upon your mighty name right now, Lord. We pray, let it rain, Lord. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Oh God, like you did many years ago on Mount Carmel, you let the rain come down. Oh Father God, the great husbandman of the earth, Lord, we pray right now that you'll send your rain, that you'll send the rain, Lord God, that you'll reap this harvest. We pray for that reaping gift, for that reaping anointing. We pray, Lord, for the harvesting anointing. Father God, to reap the harvest, to get the souls in, Father God. To tell people, Father God, that, Lord, that their hearts can be prepared. Father, instead of hardness, that their hearts will be yielded to you. Father God in heaven, instead of stubborn willness, Father God, that their wills will be yielded to you, Father, to receive. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now, rain upon their hearts, rain into their hearts, rain into their hearts, oh God. Rain into their hearts, Jesus. Soften the ground, soften the ground, soften the ground. Make ready the heart to receive all that you are, Jesus, to receive your salvation, to receive, Holy Spirit. Roar out of our lives, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come in power and might. Have your way, Lord. More of you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that our eyes will be open. God, that our ears will be unstopped. That our hearts will be open and perceptive to the truth. Father God, that we will not be, Father God, deceived by this world. Father God, or its media outlets, Father God, or its propaganda, whatever that it says. God, but help us to be discerning according to the Spirit of God, to discern according to the Spirit of truth. Father, give us a heart of understanding. Give us a heart, Lord. Give us a heart like yours. Give us a heart like yours, Father. Give us a heart like yours. Breathe upon us today, God. God, breathe upon us, Father. Papa, we say we need your rain. We need your rain in this earth, across our nation. Let it rain in the Congress. Let it rain in the Senate. Let it rain, Father God, in the office of the President. Let it rain upon our Vice President. Let it rain upon the governors. Let it rain, Father God, upon the Lieutenant Governors. Let it rain upon the mayors. Let it rain, Father, upon the school boards and the supervisors. And let it rain, Father God, in every locality, upon every policeman and sheriff and marshal. Let it rain, Father God. Let it rain throughout the political system. Let the Holy Ghost rain come down. Reap the harvest. We pray for the reaping of the harvest, oh Father God. Oh Father, that our children will have a future generation. Father God, that the generations to come might know you, Lord God Almighty, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Father, we pray for the life of God, Lord, that every single person, that 9-to-5-hour person, Father, that person, Father God in heaven, that Lord, that struggles from day to day, paycheck to paycheck, that they will come to know you, Jesus. That their eyes will be open, not just caught up into a system, Father God, where they're blinded by the eternity to come. Father, but I pray that their eyes will be open, that they might know you and be given life and life more abundantly. Father, grant it. We need need the rain, the Holy Ghost rain, that our hearts don't become hard. That we do not, Lord, allow our love to wax cold. That we do not leave our first love. God, I pray for the fire of the Holy Ghost to be so intense in our lives that the joy of the Lord will just overflow and overflow and overflow. Father God, within us, Lord, we've got to have that. Let our hearts return to passion, a passion for you, a passion for the things of the Spirit of God. Reveal every unholy passion, Father God in heaven, that could be in our life, and let it be replaced today, God, with a holy passion for the things of God. Oh God, I pray that you will grant us the ability to hold fast and stand fast and be steadfast, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for our nation today. We pray over this election. We pray, Father God, let truth stand. Let truth, Father God, cry in the street. Let truth rise. Father God, and we pray your righteousness, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Expose the hidden things of darkness. Bring them to the light. Father God in heaven, crush the works of darkness. Crush, Father God in heaven, Lord, everything that the enemy, Father God, has done to ruin our nation, to corrupt our nation's leaders. Father, move across this nation. Because we know, Father, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain of a great awakening. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, Father God, of a deluge, of the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon these last days to reap the harvest. Father, we thank you for that today, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Can we just give thanks to him right now? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for America. Thank you for the United States of America. Thank you for godly people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you, Father, for our Declaration of Independence. Thank you for the Bill of Rights. Thank you, Father God, for our Constitution. Thank you, God, that we're not a communist country, a godless country. Thank you that we're not. Father, I thank you that you're going to overthrow everything, Father God, the enemy tries to carry us in that direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go back to your seat. Glory to God. Glory to God. Rainmakers. Hallelujah. I want to remind you, December the 6th is the Christmas banquet at 6 o'clock in the evening. What else am I missing? I want to remind you beforehand, Danny's mother passing away. And so let's remember Danny. Let's remember his family. Let's pray over them for God's peace to be with them. I know he just buried his sister a few weeks back. And his father, just a little while ago, really, it just seems like it just everything just happened back in April. And so let's just pray. I know they're having a great reunion, meeting together up there. Praise God. But let's pray for Danny's family. Let's pray for God's peace and God's comfort for them. Amen. Amen. Tuesday night prayer meeting, 6 o'clock. Let's come out, soak in the glory. Amen. Amen. Am I missing anything, Deborah? Choir practice. See, Laura Lee, where's Laura Lee at? Well, Barry, you raise your hand.